The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to This Is The Show. Molly was tired of me just saying it's our Mandalorian after show podcast thing. and she put out some feelers on Twitter to get a good name for this thing. And Alex Zukas, or at Zubaka on Twitter, suggested This Is The Show. And Molly just came in and was like, this is it. This is the one. I was like, okay.
It's simple. It doesn't, we kept thinking what rhymes with what, and like a lot of the good ones are already taken. Fandalorian, Mando Fando Show. It's,
we were too slow. We were too slow to get a name that rhymed, but thank you, Alex, for your excellent suggestion. Today we have from Force Toast Podcast, Laura Kelly and Alice. What's going on?
Not much. Hi. We're very excited to talk about this very excellent episode of The Mandalorian. I forgot what it was called for a second because I was I'm obsessed with your new name. I love it.
Last Friday free of not being fun employed, so I'm good to go.
Congratulations. We all decided to join your normal what we can give a toast.
Welcome to Happy, everybody. Yeah. Cheers, Alice. Congrats on your new job.
Congratulations. So we're just going to jump into it. And we have no schedule, no format for this show. We're just going to talk about it. But I want to throw it to Laura and Alice first. What were your just initial impressions and reactions to?
Spoilers, everyone watching, obviously.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Well, I would hope so. By now, they know what to expect. But yeah, we're going to get super into spoilers. And in about half an hour, we will take fan questions as well, just from the chat. Or if you want to get some lined up, you can leave us a super chat. But we'll do that in about 30 minutes.
I put some initial reactions out there on Twitter today, but I actually haven't heard anything too much about what Alice thinks of it. So, Alice, why don't you start? What were your initial thoughts?
Initial thoughts, Bo-Katan looked awesome AF. I was so pleasantly surprised with her. And also, I was really ticked off at the Quarren for being total like a-holes. And then one thing that at the end that really stuck with me was I was wondering for some, maybe I missed it because it was so early in the morning, but I was wondering where Mando left the baby on his little quest. And I thought, there was a lot of concern earlier this week after last episode about his eating habits, and I thought it was a really nice thing they did where they showed, in just like the tiniest way, they showed a lot of growth with him in kind of showing him nurturing and understanding the creation of new life with a little tadpole thingamadoodles from Mr. and Mrs. Frog. So I really appreciated that. But seeing the Mandos, Bo-Katan was awesome. Seeing Mando himself be like, oh my God, you're taking your helmets off. What? And getting the little reveal of, oh, you're one of those The Watch people.
I think last week, Molly and I said that exact thing, that when it happens, when inevitably someone takes the helmet off, then they're going to be like, oh, he's one of those. And that exact line happened. It's like,
yes, yes. So I loved it. And it was a short episode too, because I feel like I remember screwing up and saying, I was like, some of the episodes are only 20 minutes. Ugh. But this one was really short too. Lori said it was the runtime of 35 minutes or something.
Yeah, that was with the intro and with like five yep. minutes of credits. So it was not a lot of new Star Wars content, which is too bad. But that was the only complaint I think I have about the episode. I am head over heels for it. I just loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the same reaction. This morning I saw it at 35 minutes.
And I think it's going to set up for a lot, because just like we didn't see Cara Dune until like really we saw her once, and then we didn't see her for a couple of episodes. So I think, or I'm hoping, it's going to be kind of the same way, and that we see the Bo-Katan Mando buddy group, that they'll come back into play in a few episodes later, and then like the allusion to the Darksaber, which I don't know if the, you know, crazy fans like us would really have gotten what it was she was talking about. I'm curious to see what like Laura's sister would have thought about that. And it was so much fun. I loved it.
So Laura, I saw some of your reactions online, and I basically wrote the same notes, just all caps, like WTFs, but all the way spelled out, especially when the Corrin knocked the baby into that pit. I just yelled like, what the, like, I could not handle that.
I audibly gasped. It was like, yeah, how dare you?
Who would dare? But what did you think, Laura?
Overall, I mean, with the baby getting knocked into the pool, or overall episode in general?
Overall episode.
Yeah, no, I was, there's something really strange that I can't fully put into words and I can't fully explain, but I feel like vindicated, or I feel like seen or something. And I can't figure out why that is. I think it has something to do with Bo-Katan and the fact that we've had like, we're now like more than a quarter of the way through this season. We've had exactly two women that have been in like supporting roles in this season. So the fact that we got another woman in the show in such a big way, I was so, so excited to see Bo-Katan, which felt unusual, because I like the Clone Wars. I love, you know, any episode that she's in, but I've never been like a diehard full charge Mandalorian fan. Like I'm not on quite on that side of the fandom. So I was really surprised like how happy I was to see her. But that was a highlight. I think it's going to end up being a highlight for me for the entire season. But yeah, there was definitely a lot of like really cute baby Yoda action. I feel like he sort of missed out on the big climax of this episode, which is fine. He had his, you know, he was hanging out with the frog people. And I like that, Alice, you brought up we've got a little bit of like character growth with him, where we sort of see him learning. I didn't think about that at all. And I think that's a really good point. And I think that's a really interesting story choice that they made. I'm glad that they made that actually, after some of the, I guess the backlash we saw from the last episode. But yeah, I have, there's a lot to talk about in this episode. And I was very overwhelmed the first time I watched it at 6 a.m. this morning. And then I watched it again over my lunch, and I was able to like kind of tune in a little bit, fine tune some of my notes that just were full of all caps and profanity, and have a little bit more of a, I'm ready for a little bit more of an intelligent adult conversation.
don't feel any shame. My notes looked much the same. And yeah, I want to ask Molly too, because Molly and I didn't watch this together. I tried to rouse her from sleep this morning, and I couldn't. And then I was writing my review, and she came in and was just like, was it a banger? And I was like, it was.
No, I texted you from bed when I woke up at like 9. I was like, all right, maybe I definitely shouldn't go on Twitter, first of all. So I texted him, is it a banger? And he came into the room and he was like, yes, watch it, yes. I was like, okay.
But I didn't get to see your reaction to most of the episode because I was writing. So what did you think?
I had a giant grin on my face for most of the episode, except for me gasping for air when, Baby Yoda was in danger. I loved it. Like, if you've been watching our channel, you know both of us have been just dying for Katie Sackhoff to come in as Bo-Katan. We, like, much more rumors about Ahsoka than Bo-Katan. There were some rumors floating around about her being Bo-Katan, but not as many. But I was like, this has to happen. Like, if they're going to put Bo-Katan in it, it has to be Katie Sackhoff. No one else can do it. And she showed up, and my heart stopped. My eyes got a little teary. I was like, it's happening. Like, the gif, that it's happening.
Yes.
When she landed and you saw that helmet, and I was just like, oh my God, they're doing it. It was the same kind of thing as my boy, which now I feel bad. Like, now I want Bo-Katan merch. I feel like, yeah. I got all my Cobb Vanth stuff, and I was like, well, our room is going to be filled with cardboard cutouts by the end of the season. But again, it's just that same thing where I was like, oh my God, they're actually doing it. I can't believe they're, like, tying everything in to this live action universe now.
Yeah.
It's all supposed to be the same universe, but when it gets into live action, it feels even more real and more significant. And, like, yeah, my parents are going to know who Bo-Katan is now. And I don't know why that excites me so much.
Yeah, I was actually shocked that they mentioned Ahsoka Tano in this episode, because my expectation for the season is Ahsoka related. We wouldn't have seen anything until, like, the last 10 seconds of the final episode of the season. You know, I was expecting, like, a door opening, figure walking out and being like, oh, Ahsoka Tano. That was another thing about this episode that shocked me, is that they already mentioned her so early on.
Yeah.
We got a name drop. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm kind of glad they're not playing coy with it. Just to be like, it's coming. Like, get ready, nerds.
Yeah. They've been playing coy with it as long as these rumors have been dropping about it, which has been quite a long time now.
Yeah.
But, you know, by not acknowledging them at all. I do want to circle back, though, to Katie Sackhoff and Bo-Katan really quick. Can we discuss how old we think Bo-Katan is? Because Sackhoff looks very good for whatever age she's supposed to be.
Molly's got the perfect answer for this. Yeah, she should be in her mid-50s or so. And I was over here doing, like, Star Wars science-y, like, fantasy. Oh, I don't know, maybe natural-born Mandalorians age differently. But Molly, take it away.
We were walking the dog earlier, and you brought up that she was supposed to be 50, and I was like, well, she wears a helmet all the time. The number one cause of aging is sun exposure, so yeah, everyone should just have Mandalorian helmets, and you'll be fine. You'll look amazing forever.
Or bangs. I mean, it's like a baby's bottom up there, you know, it's smooth. But no, I was wondering the same thing, because I'm like, maybe, I think, like, the lowest age you could maybe guess for her, like, in the Clone Wars would have been, like, I mean, like, 15 seems really young.
No way. I would say 20, like, at the
That's what I would, think too, but it's kind of weird to think that, like, Leia was 19 in New Hope. Like, she seems so much older, but I'm like, that's like the lowest I think I would accept, which would mean she's about 45 at the youngest in The Mandalorian. But, like, Katie Sackhoff is 40 and she doesn't look a day over 35. So I don't know what I'm supposed to understand this, but whatever. I don't care. I'm here for it. I'm glad she's here. And I'm glad that of all the actors that they would have cast to play her, they definitely, like, went the right way by putting Katie Sackhoff in the live action role.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, okay, all of us, we're all the same age, and I still think we could all pass for our 20s.
You think we could go play high schoolers in, like, a early 2000s movie, like everyone else was, like, doing when they were in their 30s?
American Pie. Yeah, no, yes. We can also pass for our 20s in my mind. I don't know. But maybe there's, like, space Botox or something that's going on, you know?
If I don't have any makeup on, I get carded sometimes. So if I wash all the makeup off, put my hair back, Yeah, I could pass for a teenager probably. So
John Favreau, if you need any 30-year-olds that look like 20-year-olds to play 50-year-old Mandalorians, we're ready.
We're here for it. We're going to strap on the jetpack. We are ready for it.
Could you imagine that casting call? It's like, hello, are you older than 34 and look like you're not, but maybe could think you're older? Can this be all right? We want you.
Oh, that's what Katie Sackhoff saw online. She was like, apply.
Uh-huh. Well, just before we move on to the next topic, because this just made me choke almost, Deshaun Davison, thank you so much.
Oh my god, for
just dropping 100.
Thank
you, Deshaun. That's very, very generous of you.
Thanks.
Deshaun is excited about The Mandalorian.
We all are.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about Din and his cult upbringing, because that is a revelation that I really, really like, because since, you know, episode one almost, we've been like, why do they leave their helmets on so much? And we already know that's not a rule. And why doesn't he know anything about the Jedi? And why does he think Mandalore is cursed? Like, all of this stuff, it makes so much sense now when you're like, oh, he was raised in a sheltered cult. Like, what does everyone feel about that?
It was interesting. It was definitely, I think, appealing to the people out there that are really into that Nexium documentary that's on HBO right now. So this is like primo timing, I think, to reveal the Din Djarin's cult upbringing. But I thought it was really interesting. I think it totally makes sense. Cult is a stronger word than what Alice and I had talked about on our show. I think my prediction was that he's from a more... Orthodox is the word that I used, like sect of the Mandalorians. So the fact that they are just like, no, they're insane. They're cultists. Like that. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right on. Go big or go home. You know,
they're in that Deshaun, executive success program.
Thank you, Deshaun. I'm
love
thank
it
you so much.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Orthodox, conservative. I was a word that we tossed around last time we talked about his whole background, but I loved that whole conversation and like the way Bo-Katan was just like, sorry to break it to you, but this is not the way.
Yeah, and that was the second time that we've gotten the people take helmets off. And even though it's amazing, because even though we don't see his face, you can still tell that mentally he's just like,
oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he jumps straight to, where did you get that armor? He just assumes, okay, not Mandalorian. And she's like, hold on.
Well, I'm like writing a video about, like, I already did my review, but I'm still like thinking so much about Bo-Katan. And I was thinking about the whole, Din is like rescued from a battle droid at the end of season one, or as a child he was, but it's like, it really makes you think differently on it now. It's almost like a First Order kind of, oh, Death Watch is just taking orphans and indoctrinating them into their fighter corps. And it's like, oh, that feels a lot different. And to see now Din is going to have to deal with that and like everything that he has known. I don't know if it's fully sunk in yet, but it's like, that was all a lie. And I just can't wait to see the fallout from this. Like, is he going to go back to the armorer and be like, yo, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen some fan theories about her. Yeah, I've seen some fan theories about like her ending up being a like sort of villain at some point, which I'm like, that would be interesting, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I sort of, when they use the word cult, and I think my mind sort of jumped to like the Sith cultists and like the Rise of Skywalker. Right. But I do wonder the same thing, because at the end of the day, it's like, you cast Pedro Pascal and we would like to see his face maybe a little bit more often. So I wonder if maybe we're going to see him letting go of that a little bit and sort of evolving into maybe less of an orthodox Mandalorian, opening up his mind a little bit. We've already seen his ability to do that. I mean, he's letting droids work on his ship now. So we can tell he is capable of character development.
Well, I think it's interesting.
I want him to get one of the viewfinders. I don't know the word for it. I'm sorry, but I want him
the little thing.
One of the thingamadoodles.
That might be his Gadget. Next upgrade. He got the rocket pack. Yeah. He's going to get a doodad next. I find it interesting that like we have seen Mando or Din be very accepting of like Tusken Raiders when people throw them to the side, and like he learned to communicate with Frog Lady, which I still feel weird calling her that. That's literally her name, but he's like the least accepting of his own people when they're breaking the rules. So I want to see him kind of realize that, oh, it's not about like all of these rules that I've been raised to follow. It's like he and Bo-Katan are able to find common ground by the end. At first she gives him a sarcastic, like, this is the way. But at the end, they're like, yeah, we're buddies now. And she's like, this is the way. Like, good for you. We like you now.
Yeah. Well, part of that is also like, I feel like he does a lot of things for selfish reasons. Like he made friends with a lot of the Tusken Raiders so that they wouldn't attack him and they would maybe work with him a little bit. And in the end, he gets the information that he needed from Bo-Katan. So he's like, all right, I guess I'll let you slide.
Yeah. But I mean, she also was acknowledging like, hey, we're going to remember your bravery and your courage here, because I think Din has a death wish. Like way too quickly, he's like, it's fine, I'll let the crate dragon swallow me. And this time he's like, here, I'll just carry these bombs and get shot a billion times. Like, I think he likes to get shot.
Yeah.
He also jumped into the water when they were on the boat. And like, I don't know if he can, I mean, apparently he can swim a little bit, but it doesn't look like he can swim that well in that helmet and in that armor, because he was definitely struggling. So you make a good point. I think he definitely has a death wish on the table.
So
jetpack does not equal Chloe.
Thank you again, Deshaun. And I saw, if I can find it again, someone mentioned it was a rangefinder. That's the doodad.
Got it. Good call.
So we already talked about Ahsoka a little bit, but I do want to... Do we think Ahsoka is going to be in the next episode, or are we going to do another... I kind of feel like we're going to get into this pattern of like Boba Fett reveal, but we're not going to deal with that right away. And then it's going to be like Ahsoka tease, but just hit pause on that.
It's got to be Filoni's episode.
Right? I agree.
Yeah. I don't think we'll see her in the next one.
Mm-hmm. I have a hard time believing he would let anyone have that, you know, like at this point, like, and not because he's selfish or anything, but because he's actually earned that. That is, you know, that is his character that he sort of built from the ground up. And I would prefer to see something, I think, from him in that sense. So that's, I don't know. I have a feeling we're going to have some kind of distraction that comes up in the next episode, and whether that's circling back to Boba Fett or just another part of the adventure yet to be seen, but that would be my guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think it's going to be towards the end, because last season, you know, again, with we saw Greef Karga and then we didn't see him a long time, and then we saw Cara Dune, and then it's like, where'd she go? Doesn't matter. So I think that it'll be towards the end. And I was so shocked that she was mentioned in this episode, because I just thought it'd be kind of a finale random show up like, hey, it's Ahsoka, what's up? but I'm really excited to see how much she's actually going to be in this, but I do feel like it'll probably be a gang coming together kind of more towards the end like it was last season.
I get the sense that we're going to follow kind of that same pattern. And I don't know that Ahsoka will like join the team the same way everyone did last year. Because I'm kind of like, I don't, and Renau, thanks so much. And this is relevant. So with the Ahsoka name drop and wondering what's going to happen. It was an amazing episode. And I'm like, I don't want Ahsoka to take over the show in a sense. And I do think that I loved this episode, but I did kind of forget about Din. Like the second Bo-Katan showed up, I was like, I'm all in on you right now. And I don't really want the show to do that too much. I do want it to still be focused on Din and the child.
I think
I'm a little worried about that.
I think she'll. I think Ahsoka will probably have about as much time as Bo-Katan had, as far as being on screen. I think it won't be very much, and I don't know if it'll just be Filoni's episode, or if she'll make another quick cameo like in the end. I'll be interested to see if it's just a one episode thing. Same for Bo-Katan. I assume we'll see her again because of the Darksaber.
Yeah,
she wants it.
Well, Bo-Katan at least is like definitely relevant to Din's story, and so is Ahsoka to the extent of the child. And what does everyone think that Ahsoka's going to say about like where you should take this baby? Does she know about Luke? Have they met at this point? Like what? Where do we think we stand whenever they do finally meet up?
That hasn't even crossed my mind. Because I'm just like, what would you do if someone just is like, here's a baby. It looks like Yoda. Remember you kind of hated him at the end because he was too uptight? Like, let me just take care of a baby. It's like handing over a puppy. It's a lot of work. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I have a feeling that she would probably see the relationship that they have together and be like, this child does not belong with me. He belongs with you. Like, I mean, look at this bond that you've created with him. I think my biggest question with Ahsoka is, where are we in the timeline of her and Sabine going off to find Ezra? Mm-hmm. Has that mission already been completed? Or are they just like on a lunch break hanging out on this planet? And like, we'll see Sabine too. And then by the end of it, Ahsoka's going to be like, hey, I have like this other thing I kind of have to go do. Yeah. So like, why don't you just like take this thing and keep it? And I'm going to go do my own thing. And
that could be very possible.
Yeah.
Hey, I have this other thing to do and you can watch it on Disney Plus next year.
Yeah. That's my biggest question, I think, at this point is like, I don't know how much we're going to see here, but I kind of wonder if, I don't know if the handoff to Ahsoka is going to be successful for Din.
I don't even know if he wants to hand him off. I hope he doesn't.
Yeah. He keeps saying that that's kind of his quest is to, bring him back to his people. But I mean, unless he goes to the Yoda planet, for lack of a better word, I think early on I had the same thought that he would meet up with Ahsoka and Ahsoka would be like, oh my God, adorable. I've never seen a young Yoda species. Here you go.
Yeah, see ya.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah, he has the Force.
Yeah, that was a thing to me. His original quest was bring him back to his kind. It wasn't bring him back to the Jedi. I don't think the Jedi were discussed much in the first season.
It's very controversial right now. Not controversial, but up in the air, where I'm definitely on the side of, I think it's more interesting for him to find the Yoda planet. But plenty of people have said that they think it's the Jedi. And I think both are completely valid.
Alex, you just want to see a bunch of little baby Yodas.
Honestly, no. if I'm being completely honest, I do think it would be weird if in the series finale, he just pops off onto the Yoda planet. And it's just a bunch of Yoda puppets walk up. I'm like, that might be a little much. I don't know how it would work. But to me, that's a mystery that the audience doesn't know about. We know about the Jedi. We know about Luke. We know what happens to his Jedi. And that's not good. So I think it's more interesting for Din to go on this he's following clues and we get to experience all of this stuff firsthand along with him. But I could totally see it being about the Jedi.
Yeah, my inclination was looking for the Yoda species planet and not necessarily Jedi. That's just the vibe I got from season one. But after you say that, I'm picturing something like, do y'all remember those old commercials for Puppy Surprise? Where it's just Puppy Surprise? Or the quintuplet toys?
Like that toy? Okay, I actually do know what you're talking about, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just picturing that, but a planet of it with baby Yodas.
I'm not from the South, so maybe that's why I'm missing this. I do want to bring up a point, though, and because I'm curious what you guys think, because I've talked about this a little bit on our show, but like my sister's not a Star Wars fan, and so we watch. What was that? I think Alice cut out or something. I can't. You're a little bit frozen, Alice. But she, my sister's not a Star Wars fan, but she loves Baby Yoda and she's enjoying watching The Mandalorian with me. But I wonder what people like her who haven't watched The Clone Wars, who don't have the full story, are how they're interpreting this episode where we introduce Bo-Katan and we see people freaking out online about the existence of this character, how that's already been established. And then like, are they feeling left out because they haven't watched The Clone Wars? The Mandalorian has been very good about kind of balancing that, you know, keeping it fresh and new for everybody, not just for people who haven't, you know, don't have all the background. So I'd be curious to see what the general reception is of this episode.
I mean, I should talk to like my parents or I mean, usually my friends text me throughout the day and they seem to be on board. They seem to get it. Like, I think they did a good job of saying who this person is. Maybe they don't know exactly her importance, but they know that she's a big deal Mandalorian. She served her story purpose without being like confusing, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for us to find normies to talk to these days.
I think my parents are probably the closest thing to, because but like we watched the chapter 9 with them and I was like, that's Boba Fett's armor, guys. Like, give me a bigger reaction, please.
But no, like my sister Dan was like, was I supposed to know who that is? And I was like, no, don't worry about it.
I went back and watched all of her Clone Wars and Rebels episodes. And then I watched the episode again and it just, it filled my heart even more.
It's different, I bet. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's, we got some questions to get through and mutual friend Hobbit F Andy, Hobbit Feet Andy. Thanks so much.
Hey, for the chat.
Feels like December
Andy.
Last year.
It yeah, does.
It was almost a year ago. We were all hanging out. Yeah,
it was good times at that food hall in LA or wherever the hell we were. Good times.
Remember friendship in person.
Remember eating out at places.
Yeah.
That was, and traveling. Oh my God.
Like more than 6 feet away from people.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, Sleep of Giants. No question, but thank you for your super chat. Just says cable knit sweaters and Star Wars in all caps. That has been taking the internet by storm, I've noticed.
I didn't notice that at all the first time I watched it. And then the second time I was like, they are wearing sweaters.
Yeah, the Mon Calamari is just a dude in a sweater. Like, if Ben Solo can do it, I can do it.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God. They were like the worst. The Corran, I was so ticked off at them for just.
Yeah.
Being nasty.
The question always becomes with like Corran and Mon Calamari, like how do they get their clothes on though? Like, how do you get your head through that sweater hole? And then their arms are like this big and they're always wearing like tiny, like they're tight sleeves. How do they get their clothes on?
It's a mystery. Did we see them from behind? Maybe there's buttons or a zipper. Behind. I don't know. Yeah, that's a mystery.
Magic wool. It's Star Wars sheep wool.
Yeah, it must just be stretchy. Some material we don't know about. It's space wool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's do another throwback. Y'all remember, Molly, you probably remember this at least. Lori, too. Those girl shirts that looked like little pyramids and they were probably this big and then they stretched. Yes.
Oh yeah. Good times.
I'm lost on that one.
Yeah. Thankful.
You could sell them. You could sell them in like gumball machines. So you come in like a little plastic ball and it was just like a tube top made out of plastic that stretches. I don't know.
They're all rotting in landfills now.
Yeah.
And they were a weird tie-dye, like horrible with weird colors that weren't flattering on anyone and just magic.
Gary 24 fan, thank you for your super chat and question. Just says, Alex, is that a Cobb Vanth stand up back there? Biggs is going to be jealous. Yes, it is my Cobb Vanth stand up. I love him very much. Well, if they made a Biggs stand up, I'd get it. There just isn't much demand for Biggs for some reason.
Someday.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter the YouTube with Hilo freaking out because there wasn't actually a body behind it.
Yeah. He's this flat man in my room. Rick Villanueva, thanks for your super chat. Just says, hey, friends, and congrats, Alice, I assume, in your new job.
Ooh, employed, yeah.
Yay. Hi, Rick.
Anthony Schubert, thank you for your question. Do you think this sets up a battle for Mandalore for the season finale? Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess no on the season finale. I do think we'll see Mandalore at some point.
Yeah, we have to resolve the whole thing of like of Din thinking that he's going to die if he sets foot on the planet.
Yeah, that's, it's cursed.
Yeah, we've seen in Rebels that that's not the case. So I would like to see. I'd be curious to see that. I'd also just be curious to see Mandalore. I mean, isn't that where they were in season 3 of Rebels, or maybe it was season 4 when they were like
very beginning of 4.
Yeah, it was just a bunch of meadows and a bunch of desert type of landscapes because the whole planet got like destroyed. So. If we're 10 years later from that or so, you know, where, you know, what does it look like now?
Yeah, he's not far off from like, it's cursed. It's definitely messed up, but not cursed. Like anyone who goes there will die.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's interesting what Bo-Katan says when he says that. She says, like, don't believe everything you hear. The Empire wants to keep us apart. We're stronger together. So it's just like, it sounds like something that a very extremist group would tell everyone, like, oh, Mandalore's cursed. Can't go back there.
I was listening to the Force Center podcast right before this, and they brought up something I didn't catch where they talked about, or Bo-Katan says that our strength is in our numbers. Like, we are stronger together. And the armorer in season 1 says our secrecy is our strength or something along those lines, where it's like, no, we got to stay hidden. So there's definitely opposing viewpoints here, but I think that enough was said in this episode to be like, we're stronger together. We need to work together. Look at you, the extremist, working with us. We can do this. Like, I think we're going to build to more and more Mandalorians being in the show to fight. And I don't know who has Mandalore right now, but retake it.
Yeah. So do we think we'll see a lot more of Pedro Pascal's face later in the season?
I hope so.
I don't think we're going to see a lot more. I think we're going to see a little more maybe this season, and then maybe next season it'll be a little more than that. But I don't know if it's going to be a lot.
I could more see it less. Being like, hopefully. Yeah. Like, I could see it being a moment where he like confronts the armorer and takes his helmet off, and maybe she beats the crap out of him. But like... I could see him like kind of rejecting those rules and that there's only one way so that he can work with everybody. I do think it'll build up.
It seems kind of strange thinking about the cohort that was on whatever the planet was in the last season. Now I'm drawing a blank.
Navarro.
Yeah. The cohort that was under there, I had sort of gotten, and I just assumed that was like Mandalorian holdouts from all over the galaxy that just kind of made their way and found their way together. But now in retrospect, I'm just like, oh, were they all part of this? Like they were all children of the watch. Like they were all part of this, like this cult. And then I don't know, I guess I didn't think about it like that, but now I'm questioning a little bit of like, you know, when he does find them, what exactly is he going to find? And what are they all going to tell them? Is there anybody in that group that was just like, oh yeah, when I was growing up, I didn't wear my helmet all the time. That's like a new thing I started doing with all of you guys. So I would just be curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah. I mean, like one of the prevailing theories before was just that maybe after the Great Purge, Mandalorians like reverted back to the old ways, which I guess is kind of true for that one group, but everyone else is like, nope, helmets off. We're fine.
Yeah. You'd be able to breathe, you know, wash your face, eat.
Do you guys think he has taken the helmet off in front of the child?
I don't think so.
No. I'm going to guess no.
I would love to think that there's that intimacy between them, but I don't think there is. He has that rule of no living thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'd probably just lock him up in that little cabinet that he has on the razor crest.
Get in your hammock. I gotta brush my teeth.
Yeah.
Now we know now is his bedroom too.
Yeah.
Right on.
And I love that he sleeps in full armor. Just helmet, shoes. I'm going to take a nap. Plop. Yeah.
Always ready to go. You never know when spiders are going to get into your ship.
Exactly.
Well, the baby will just eat them, hopefully, unless they're too big for that. So,
Olivia Pirano, thank you for your super chat. Says, Molly, your makeup and hair are on fire tonight. Love you guys. Here's the money.
Agreed.
I know. I wish you could be my makeup artist, Molly. You're so amazing.
When COVID's over, I'll come.
Touch everybody's face.
Yeah, come up to Chicago and touch our faces.
Yes. Please.
Kylie Petrano, thank you for your super chat. Says, yes, oh my God, totally awesome. So excited. The Darksaber may be going to Mandalore. This episode was a huge level of awesome. This is the way. So excited.
Basically, our thoughts.
Yeah, that feels like basically everyone's thoughts.
My sentiments, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Ted Comet, thank you for your super chat. I like how the aliens have the same logic as the villains in Taken 2. Yeah, my relatives tried to kill you and your child, but how dare you defend yourself? Basically.
Excellent point. I have a very
field my brother
set of skills.
There probably is something to that, and like the familial thing going on with Din and the child, like he's building a family. There has been a lot of just family and that discussion within this season of The Mandalorian and all of Star Wars. So
Well, we talked about character development, and so far in this season, Din and the child have had a lot more like conversations with each other. Like he's been talking to the child more and just like giving him instructions like, don't do that. Be on your best behavior, you know.
Mind your manners.
Yeah.
Mind your manners.
Be respectful. Mind your manners. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a learned family in progress.
I think
he's not used to that, except for his little underground cohort.
And I think that was kind of the point, whether or not the execution landed or not last episode, but like this time you see that okay, Din is now parenting the child and like trying to discipline him a little bit, and it worked. And yeah, like you said, like he sees the little frogling be born. What do they call that? Frog lady, frog man, and frog baby, I guess.
Sure.
I was so happy for them.
Yeah.
When they had their little reunion and he was thanking Din, I was like,
I think we're maybe still not feeding that baby quite enough, so though. Sweet. Yeah, that's my one criticism of his parenting style. We gotta step it up a little bit, I think, in that department. So.
Well, he gives him that little, like, Lunchable in the previous episode, and I guess he just doesn't. Maybe he needs something specific. Maybe like he needs frogs or whatever that tentacle thing was.
Maybe not a chowder that comes out of a tube.
Oh,
yeah.
From the ceiling. My god, the chowder tube made me very uncomfortable.
It was off-putting. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea of Lunchables, and I also like the idea of bringing everything back to the 90s. Let's do Lunchables. Let's do Gushers. Fruit by the foot. Like Squeeze high C. Let's give everything to the baby. Yes.
I mean, those eggs were basically Gushers for the baby.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Don't mean to be crass.
Trevin Pettigrew, thanks for your super chat. I think the whole series will end with Mando and other Mandalorians taking Mandalore. And maybe that's where Moff Gideon is and why it's so dangerous to go there. That makes sense. If he does have, I mean, we know he has the Darksaber, so that makes sense. If he is kind of just messing with the Mandalorians in this way, like, I have your weapon, I have your seat of power, and I'm just going to do my best to hold it. Maybe the New Republic doesn't care about Mandalorian space because they were never part of the Galactic Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I never thought about Moff Gideon being on Mandalore. That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
And
The New Republic doesn't really care about much of anything. We saw two episodes ago. Oh, they're like, we're going to shoot off these spiders. It seems like he did something good, I guess. All right, bye. they just, like, They don't really seem to care. I'm more curious, and I remember from one of the interviews from the actor about the Darksaber and how he got it and everything, like being really interesting. And I'm very, very curious where he got it from. And that I think there's another mention, Laura, do you remember what the source was that he collected additional artifacts? Like kind of like Maul did from Dathomir, from like the witch's palace and stuff. I'm wondering if there's where that all came from.
Where all what came from now? Who's collecting artifacts? Is this Din?
Gideon?
Mom Gideon.
Mm.
Yeah. So I haven't read Giancarlo's interviews. I probably should. It sounds like he drops a lot of details in them.
He does. There's one interview where he talks about how like there are lightsaber that he gets to have lightsaber fights.
I did hear about that. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, with whom? It must just be like Ahsoka, I guess. I'm like, that's a little spoiler that he said that, but I guess it's something that we probably could have assumed since he's got a saber. We got to see another one. We got to see a duel at some point.
Right.
Yeah, there was something though along the lines of him being a collector of some sorts and kind of like a Thrawn-like move. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering where he got things, because I'm assuming Maul got the Darksaber from Dathomir. I can't remember.
Oh no, internet.
Yeah, Alice, you're cutting out real bad. I think it's but
well,
still frozen a little bit.
All good.
We'll move on to Kian Carlisle, thanks for your super chat. Do you think Ahsoka will be searching for Ezra, or has given up the search, or will have already found him? Will we see Condor and Sabine? I feel like that was a
Convor.
Oh, the Convor. That makes sense. Good old autocorrect.
I don't think she's given up. That would be depressing.
But yeah, just like we searched for a couple days and dropped it. Like, well, maybe we'll see Raoul Coley right there next to her. And
maybe
we'll
he's pulling the ultimate prank. Yeah, he teased it, and then he was like, "No, guys, seriously, it's not happening. It's not me." And it's like, "Just kidding."
Oh, I am here for that. I hope that's what it is.
That would be very funny. I'm gonna
zombie
man. Like, I wouldn't think that they would wait for 5 years to start searching. I would kind of hope that they've already found him. But I don't think they're going to reveal that either way in the show.
No, because this isn't the place for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the story.
I do not think that Ezra will be there by her side, because then it's kind of like, if that Rebels sequel series is true, it's kind of like, okay, well, we know where this is headed. Not that that's all it'll be about, but I just don't think they need to drop a spoiler for another series in it.
Yeah, because there's still that rumor of a spinoff Rebels series, or like a continuation of Rebels, and like that would be the place to see that story play out, I think.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any more recent news on that? I feel like I remember hearing over the summer some little whisperings, but I haven't heard any little rumors or anything in a long, long time about that.
Yeah, I haven't heard
it's always been rumors.
I haven't heard anything recent, but I do feel like since it's animated, hopefully COVID won't push it back too far, because I feel like a lot of that could still be done during all this mess.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they'll save it for the Ahsoka episode. I mean, like, I made a joke about, hey, you can watch my adventures on Disney Plus next year. Like, they might genuinely, not in the episode, do that, but there could be a trailer or something immediately after that episode.
That would be nuts.
Jacob the Hodge, thanks for your super chat, just says, they have to talk about the adorable frog reunion. And we have touched on it, but I did love it. Oh. And like I said this last week, where I was kind of like, this episode did feel a little bit like treading water, but as you keep going in the series, it's going to feel more and more important. And A, I felt that with the Frog reunion because it was emotional knowing what they had all been through to get there. But B, I'm noticing some stuff with Bo-Katan. She kind of alters the deal on Din at that one point, and he doesn't take kindly to that, nor should he. That kind of reminded me of the Frog Lady saying, like, hey, you're a Mandalorian, you're supposed to keep your word. And I don't know, I took notice of that, of Bo-Katan being like, no, I'm going to mix it up on you. And maybe that's not, I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of darkness in Bo-Katan. As much as I want her to, like, be a hero and be on the light side, I don't know, I could see her wanting the Darksaber just a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I can also see that being the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, though. Like, we don't know what state Mandalore's in, but sure, we know that she is the rightful owner of the Darksaber per the handoff from Sabine and Rebels. And if it were taken from her, we don't know how it was taken from her. Maybe we'll find out in the season, which should be awesome. But I think it's normal to have an obsession with something like that in Star Wars in general.
You know, well, I think, like, there's also the connection
with finding Luke, like,
there's also the connection with Duchess Satine there. I mean, she's, you know, there's that level of attachment to this thing that was, you know, also associated with the former ruler of Mandalore. So I can kind of see the I can understand the desperation she must be feeling in that situation. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I kind of like the shades of dark that we're getting from Bo-Katan. I just because I love this character so much right now. And I love that we get a little bit of complexity there.
Yeah. I mean, yes, Reverend Trickster, she is no angel. I want her to have, like, an element of redemption. Like, I really love the character, so I want her to wind up being good. And I don't think she's crossed a line too far as of yet. But I could also see this being someone who, like, takes things too far in the future. And I'm just...
Yeah. And, like, Mandalorians are so, so prideful. And for someone like Gideon, you know, a Moff in the Empire to have the Darksaber, that's just like a twisting the knife.
Yeah.
Seeing the Darksaber.
Yeah.
One more thing about the frog man, I guess. Did he really see those Mandalorians there? Or was he like, yeah, go in that shady bar?
He did basically just say, like, no, let's go to the tavern, talk to the bartender, and, like, fingers crossed, right?
I was like, I'd like to think that I don't want to tarnish the frog
I think he
people
did.
And their babies, but
I think they were being honest.
He was
they're
just like,
they're
yeah,
good,
yeah,
honest folk, Molly.
I think they had good intentions, but yeah, I didn't even consider that of, like, there may be some sinisterness in this.
I just thought, don't diss the frog people. I mean, the frog lady was clever enough to, like, rig up the
translator droid,
IT crowd dude's droid to talk in English.
Yeah.
Or basic, whatever.
Yeah, basic, please.
Yeah. Alice, please.
Oh, my bad. Basic.
I'm sure Frog Man probably didn't expect Mando to be basically like a walking bag of money. Like, the him wearing Beskar, everybody's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was wondering if his is fancier than the others. Like,
I mean, it's not painted, like, so
I think it's more noticeable because he's just, like, he's very shiny.
Yeah,
he needs to paint.
It's
that.
Very new.
But I did notice that I really liked is that he spoke frog, like, he understood Frog Man when he was talking to him, and I was like, oh, he learned some frog along the way, which. In the last episode, he didn't know it. And, like, yeah, we see he's willing to, like, learn and relate with these people.
Yeah.
I know they couldn't travel through hyperspace. It must have been a very long ride to get to Trask.
It was thousands of years.
Apparently.
Yeah,
Baby Yoda is 400 now.
401. And you know, that was a question Laura and I had when we were talking 2 weeks ago, is Mando was so good at interacting with the Tuskens, and there was kind of a weird reference to him having been on Tatooine before or for a while.
So spent how much time was there. It?
Yes. So when was that? Was the gunslinger spent much time there?
Because nah, I think it was well before that.
Yeah, so that's something that's really curious to me, and I'm wondering if we'll find that out.
Was there like a, you know, a cult of the Watch Mandalorians hanging out on Tatooine at some point that we never saw?
Yeah, maybe they've moved around. Like, yeah,
they're like, we're tired of the sand planet. Let's move to another.
Right. No one's sick of sand. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Love it. No lack of sand locations.
Exactly.
Sand castles for life. Who can build the best?
Oh, okay. Let's move to Oyson McPhillips. Thanks for your super chat. I love how Bo-Katan and the others are clearly much better fighters than Din. Highlights the difference between Mando soldiers and bounty hunters. Yeah, we don't really know what kind of training the fighter core of a child of the Watch would get. I don't like Din. Definitely seems up and down in his fighting. Sometimes Jawas can take him out, and sometimes he holds his own. Like, it's just kind of whatever the story needs him to be, I think.
Yeah, some of the hand-to-hand stuff isn't quite his strength, but he's a damn good shot. So, and he's got the, you know, the whistling birds or whatever. You know, he clearly has some level of, I don't know. He's pretty good with those.
He is, but I also think he has this weird, like invincible complex, you know, when he was just like, cover me, before he threw those two bombs, and they didn't really cover him at all, and he just got shot up.
They didn't do anything.
Yeah, and I was like, cover you, what, you're just walking into like unfriendly fire, I guess. And he's like, all right, cool, my new armor. Ding, 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 ding.
I'm telling you, he's had a death wish.
Yeah, I'm like, is it a death wish, or is he just so optimistic about what the armor gave him that he's like, the armor does everything perfect. Nothing will hurt me unless it's in this one specific part of the neck. You know, I don't know. That was weird to me.
Yeah, the other Mandalorians were definitely just like, nah, you're fine. You'll be okay. You got armor on.
Yeah. Cover
All
me.
All right, nah. A for effort. Let's see what happens. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah. Dragoness Prime, thanks for your super chat. It's your boy. I think Din being raised in a cult is key because that's what the enemy Jedi are. They take children and raise them to think a certain way. That's interesting. I mean, like, yeah, they do. And so does the First Order. There's a real running theme of, yeah, just like taking children and indoctrinating them into the way that you think.
Yeah, I had not thought about that. I hadn't either. That's a really good point, that there is that sort of like parallelism between what Baby Yoda would be going through if he was, you know, actually raised in the Republic, and what he's going through now. Din's just going to raise him as another cult child.
And maybe Dragonus is pointing out that, like, he could get to Ahsoka, and Ahsoka would explain what the Jedi are, and he's like, no, and he just runs away.
It's like, you know what? Pass, actually.
I think that's really a good point. Trevin Pettigrew with another too. Super chat.
Din... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was wondering, I was trying to remember based on the Vader comics, when the Inquisitor and that Force-sensitive clan, they got raised on, or got raised by the Empire, when they ceased to exist. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like the Inquisitorious?
Maybe would have ceased. Yeah.
I think they died out during Star Wars Rebels. So right before A New Hope, basically.
Okay.
A year or two earlier.
Yeah. And there was that weird child farm too, but I don't remember any details about it, so I can't speak to it.
Trevin Pettigrew, there has to be a reason for his right leg not having shiny Beskar armor. I assume it's just for texture. I don't know.
Is it not?
I don't think so. I think like his one shin. I assume he just ran out of Beskar.
Good eye. I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Water damage.
Maybe that one is like signed by some famous Mandalorian. No.
Maybe it's a fake leg. Maybe he's got like a bionic leg down there.
Don't need Beskar there.
Exactly. Yeah. Save it. Make the helmet extra thick.
Renau, I forgot. I didn't see this part earlier with your super chat. You're expecting that scene to end knowing the location of a Jedi with the Ahsoka name drop. Well, we did get her location. Corvus, the fourth planet in the Corvus system.
Forest planet,
yeah.
About Corvus, okay, this may be so stupid of me, but was that not the name of the ship in Jedi Fallen Order?
It was in Battlefront 2. Okay. But yeah, it was the name of a ship.
Okay.
So.
Yes, I remembered it from somewhere in video games. So that's what kind of, it drew me to it a little bit, and I couldn't really remember why. But I'm excited to see what it actually is.
That just jogged my memory. Janina Gavankar tweeted today that she did something. She worked on something in this episode. And that she would, she would reveal more later tonight, I think she said.
Was she like in the episode or?
No, she says, I worked on tonight's episode of The Mandalorian. After it airs, I'll tell you the whole story. Then 7 hours ago, she was like, oh, it's already out. But she hasn't told the full story yet.
Don't be shy, girl. Drop the details.
Yeah. So I'm like, what if Iden Versio is in this show?
Well, she doesn't. So I don't know that. I don't know too much about her career. She doesn't do stunt work or anything, does she? Was she? Oh, you know what? I wonder, was she the person that was running the comms as he was approaching Trask that was talking to him on the comms? We only heard the voice. I wondered who that was at the time. I was like, I feel like this is someone. I don't know who, but I feel like it's something.
Yeah, telling him to slow down.
Maybe. Just an idea. I don't know. But yeah, I'd be curious to find out too. It'd be great to know what she was.
Yeah. Let's see. Kian Carlisle, thanks for another super chat during the Untold Stories panel about Ahsoka from a couple celebrations ago. Filoni had an Order 66 idea where Ahsoka runs through a forest of giant wolves. Corvus is a forest. We could see this. that would not surprise me in the least.
Nope, yeah, not at all.
Filoni's like, if I'm doing an episode, we got Ahsoka, we got wolves, we got cowboy hats.
Jon Favreau's like, we already named your character Wolf. Is that not good enough? And Filoni's like, no, it's not. We got to do more.
Bring it on.
It's like, no, exactly. Your character's just John, like Frog Lady.
Exactly.
I feel not good about reading this name out. It's not an appropriate name. It is funny, but thanks for your super chat. Any theories on how Moff Gideon acquired the Darksaber since Bo-Katan is alive? I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess he just took it during the Purge. Like, maybe she had to surrender.
All right, we can all think through this. The last person... No, well, I guess the last person who had it was Bo-Katan.
Yep.
And then she...
Alice, you're cutting out really bad again. Can I just get some clarification on the Purge? Her. When did that happen?
I think it's going to happen probably around the same time as season 4 of Rebels. Like, they do that attack at the start of season 4. And then the Empire was just like, no, we got to shut that down.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And they went and attacked. So like in the series, in Rebels, it ends on a very hopeful note. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Got it.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe Bo-Katan surrendered to spare her people and gave up the Darksaber. I don't know. I do hope we find out.
I kind of hope we get some kind of flashback, maybe.
Agreed.
Of how that happened.
100%. They won't have to change anything about her makeup.
I feel like just, I need you know. That.
Don't have to make her look younger. She looks young enough. Just, yeah, it's fine.
Anthony Mazzacchetti. Oh, yeah, Alice.
Oh, I was just going to say some people look young forever and some people look old forever. Maggie Smith has looked 80 for the past 30 years. Like, never know.
Good point.
Anthony says Ezra has most likely hasn't been found yet. If he was found, how would they explain the lack of Ezra, Sabine, and Ahsoka in the OG trilogy? Well, Ezra was missing until after Return of the Jedi. Like, they didn't go searching for him until after the Empire fell. So Sabine, I think she said, stayed on Lothal to keep it safe. And Ahsoka, we don't know how she got off Malachor. So
it's all a
mystery, but
I wonder if they would tackle that. And when we meet up with Ahsoka, get even if it's just a little bit of flashback of like, okay, so you're a Jedi. What's your story? And then just like, give me a quick like rundown, like what happened and how'd she get out of that, of the world between worlds situation.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how much they dive into her story for people who haven't seen the animated shows, or if they're going to just be like, nah, you should know who this is by now.
I'd be curious about that too. Yeah.
I feel like knowing Filoni, he's going to have her just say like, well, that's a long story for another time.
Yeah.
That checks out.
Oh, well, I think that's going to be like a long marketing ploy, you know? So they're going to say like, oh, Ahsoka, let's give you enough to be really interested in her. And then from the Disney Plus interface, focus on Ahsoka content so that you will catch up with Ahsoka and then you'll get sucked into the Clone Wars and then you'll get sucked into Rebels. I think that's, or for me, from like a money-making perspective, that would be the reason that they would, or the way they would choose to go with it.
I'm surprised they don't do that now. When the Darksaber came out, be like, hey, here's all the episodes with the Darksaber in it. We made a playlist for you. And like Bo-Katan, be like, here's all the Bo-Katan episodes of the Clone Wars and Rebels. Go for it. Like,
yeah.
Get into these shows.
I mean, I did it. It wasn't hard for me, but
I feel like I saw a few articles that were just like, are you curious about what's going on in The Mandalorian? Here's a bunch of stuff on a silver platter you should be watching.
Yeah.
I think maybe they put too much trust in that.
If you're like an 8-year-old on Disney Plus and you're like, oh, I'm watching Mandalorian, here's Ahsoka. Oh, here's a button that shows me everything Ahsoka. Click. You know, I think it'll be more of a marketing tool to have her in this season of Mandalorian than it will to have her as a plot tool.
To be honest. I hope not. I mean, I definitely hope that it makes sense for the story. Because I thought they nailed it with Bo-Katan. I was like, yes, this makes sense. This is what Din needs to hear now. Ahsoka, I'm interested to see how they handle her. And speaking of, Drew Funk, thanks for your super chat. What if when Din meets Ahsoka, she senses that Din is force sensitive? Could make an interesting storyline with Din becoming Mandalore thoughts. I don't want him to be force sensitive.
Yeah. I keep hearing this theory, and it's interesting to me because I haven't picked up on any hint of that at all. I don't think the story is going to go that way. It's an interesting idea, but I'm like, we get a lot of Force Jedi stuff in Star Wars. It's kind of interesting going a different route with it.
Yeah, if anything, I feel like Din is a little dense.
Maybe that's why he's named that.
But I mean, Luke was too, but
sure,
he was young, so Din has no excuse.
Exactly. What's his excuse?
I like that the armor I see the armor is basically the force in this show, in a sense, in that it can be used for good, it can be used for evil, but that's how a Mandalorian, that's where their power comes from, and how do you use your armor? and Din used to use it for selfish reasons, and now he's using it for selfless reasons. And so I like that we're still getting those same lessons, but without the Force. I think it's really interesting and different.
I wonder if they'll bring in the sort of Mandalorian force fighting tools that we saw in the Clone Wars, how they can sort of project these, you know, virtual shields up and things like that. I wonder, you know, if that's something that eventually Din would need to obtain if he's going to sort of, I guess, hopefully not be fighting the Jedi, but I imagine that there's going to be some confrontation at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I think he will definitely continue to upgrade his armor and get new gadgets and stuff.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, we don't know what kind of other weapons were on that ship that they got a hold of. We just saw a bunch of big guns.
That's true.
Which are always helpful.
Rick Villanueva has another super chat. Thanks so much. There was a Corvus Minor in Legends that Palpatine was interested in, but no Corvus. I actually don't know that planet, Rick, so now you made me feel like a fool on my own show.
quit your job.
Well done, Rick. Mission accomplished.
Hand over the channel to Rick.
Marlon Rando, thanks for your super chat. How do you guys feel about Ahsoka having Rosario Dawson's voice instead of Ashley Eckstein's? It's going to take some getting used to for me. It will for me too, if that's how it winds up being, which I assume it is.
Yeah, early on I was like, maybe if she's not in it that much and doesn't have any lines, they could take their two voices and kind of mix them together to make it sound a little more like Ashley. I don't think they would completely replace her voice entirely, but I don't know.
I like the idea of mixing them. I actually hadn't considered that. I mean, they did that with James Earl Jones and Matt Lanter in Rebels. Yeah. So I don't think it's totally unheard of, but I think I'm kind of in the same boat where it's going to take some getting used to. I think it's one of those things that as Star Wars fans, if we are going to be clamoring to be seeing our favorite characters from the animation make the jump to live action, we need to be open to that. Yeah. The interpretations of the characters is going to be different. And if you can't wrap your mind around that, you're not going to enjoy it. It's like, you want to enjoy the story and you want to enjoy what's happening. So it's one of those things I think we're going to have to get used to at some point. It's not always going to be the same.
Yeah. Bo-Katan is just like a very fortunate anomaly where, like, yeah, Katie Sackhoff absolutely can play this character. She looks like her and she voiced her.
But people still are like, well, she's not old enough looking.
Right.
I did see one complaint about the wig, which I'm like, that's a little bit valid. I get it a little bit.
I did too.
We talked a little bit about that and we were like, that looks a little bit like a cosplay wig, but we can forgive it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I'm like just over the moon that the character is here at all.
Same.
I'm not going to nitpick that level.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all because it's going to be something so different than what we're used to that I feel like I would expect everything to be very different about it. And yeah, it'll be a little weird, but I'm not necessarily concerned about the voice difference.
Yeah. SWAT Reject, thanks for your super chat. Hearing that The Way is a shortening of The Way of the Mandalore made me look at Din and think his silver armor really reminds me of Candorous Ordo. I think that's just a happy coincidence because I would be shocked if Jon Favreau knew who that was.
I don't know who that is. So.
I don't either.
He's from Knights of the Old Republic. And
that's why.
Anytime people refer to like anything that's outside of the movies, I think about Jon Favreau being like IG-88. That's a really deep cut,
right?
I'm not trying to shame him or anything, but I'm also like, no, it's not Jon. So
yeah.
Like the idea that he knows like the video game and the book characters, like I 100% do not think he was like, we gotta get Cobb Vanth in the TV show. It's like, no, he didn't think that.
That definitely wasn't his idea. I mean, remember he was on a red carpet at one point and he was just like, oh yeah, it takes place like 5 years after the A New Hope or something, and then he had to come back later and put a correction out there and be like, nope, I was wrong, sorry. Like that's gonna be that's the headspace that he's in.
Yeah, which is fine. that doesn't, knowing Star Wars trivia doesn't make you a good Star Wars storyteller.
No, he's the showrunner. He doesn't right. need to know those things. He's got people to know those things.
Exactly.
But he's still killing it.
Yes.
Elijah Neal, thank you for your super chat. It says, Filoni's episode with Ahsoka will be called Chapter 13, The Citizen. That's funny. Oh, he doesn't have a trivia question for us today. Been too focused on the episode, but long live the Empire. That would be a funny title.
It took me a few minutes to get the reference, and now I get it. I'm just like, oh, that's harsh, but I am also here for it.
Yeah. Huh. I wonder if it'll be like the Jedi or the, I don't know, the outcast. I don't like, because she's not a Jedi. I mean, I think that I would consider her to be one, but she does not consider herself to be one. So I don't know what they'll title that episode.
Yeah.
So the Wanderer.
Mm.
The Citizen actually sounds like it would be a legit title for the Mandalorian.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It just, yeah. It fits the profile, I gotta say.
Or Fulcrum.
Fulcrum's good. The Fulcrum. I like that. Vic, thank you for your super chat. Do you guys think we'll get to see or hear any of the OG characters via hologram? I'd love to see or hear Luke. I don't want that.
Me neither.
I don't really want Luke to be in this show. People are definitely thinking about it, and if it happened, I will get on board real fast. But I just don't want the Mandalorian to get pulled into this, like, surprise, it was still about the Skywalkers after all. Like,
oh God, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
You know, as far as like a hologram reference, Laura and I had spoken about this, but we were kind of wondering if there would be one of the Obi-Wan holocrons, like from Rebels, and maybe Ewan McGregor would be doing it because he was on the Mando set to try on his costumes. So, yeah, we're like, why did he go there at that time? Was it just for funsies? Or is he going to have some weird kind of appearance? So as far as a hologram, I think there could be. And by I think there could be a chance, I really want there to be a chance of Ewan McGregor showing up.
And obviously, corporate synergy for that Kenobi show.
Yeah, there you go. But it would be like, I mean, there is a way that you could work that into the story where it would very much be a learning moment for Din Djarin to learn about the Jedi, because it's clearly something he's very ignorant about.
Yeah. No, that'd be cool. And yeah, holograms are like, I'd be fine if Leia popped up and like a message to the galaxy. Like, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't want Baby Yoda to wind up with the Jedi. Like, that story does not end happily.
It'd be, well, the alternative, though, like one of the alternatives, I guess, is that he ends up with Din Djarin for the remainder of his life. Sure. And he's going to vastly outlive Din Djarin. And that is going to be very sad, I think, at some point. But more than likely, it's so far into the future that it's not something we'll have to witness. Yeah. Thank goodness. But yeah, that's the other alternative, is that no matter what, this kid's got a sad life ahead of him.
Yeah.
Oppressive Maul, thanks for your super chat. It's not the way of your people to hide in the gutters, says Maul. And then you see them on Navarro hiding in the gutters. Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, we were just all questioning that. And why are they doing this? And it's like, now we know that wasn't the norm. Mm-hmm. And it's good to know that. I'm happy to know that.
Yeah, this is the way of the cultists.
Yeah. So. Robert Bush, thanks for your super chat. Just says Friday the 13th was supposed to be unlucky, but not today.
Not today.
Amen.
Kevin, thanks for your super chat and question. Just wants to know what we're all drinking. I had some Prosecco because we were out of champagne, but it's still sparkling white wine.
I took the last of the champagne and made a mimosa.
What do you got, Alice?
The whole question got jumbled, so I missed all.
Oh, but you did answer it in a way.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is 2016 Skywalker Vineyards Pinot Noir.
Oh, you did open the bottle.
It did. Yes.
Okay, nice. I have Alex, for some reason, you sound like you're a Corran underwater trapped into that cage. I have a tiny bottle of Apothic the Red Blend.
Oh, here he comes.
A glass and a half, allegedly. And then I also have my dog sleeping in my lap and snoring.
Aw, well, then you and Molly are in the same spot.
Yeah. Mine is in my lap, but he is not sleeping or snoring.
All right, we got three more questions, then I'll let you go. We went longer than I told you that we would, but thank you for sticking it out, Laura and Alice.
Oh, no, we're here for it.
Major Zuma, thanks for your question. Loved the episode. Also thought it was funny when Bo shattered Mando's worldviews. He just said, F this, and dipped. Much love. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I like had this image of him crying as he flew away.
I know.
Like, no, this is the way.
I got very much like upset teenager vibes where you just like storm off with like a little tear streaming down your face.
I wonder if we're going to like open up in the next episode of him like sitting there like moping in his, you know, hyperspace run where his ship is gradually falling apart. I did enjoy that little detail of the panel flipping around in space as he jumped to hyperspace. But if he's just going to be sitting there like, I don't know.
What do I do now?
Exactly.
This is a hot mess.
That leads me to believe the next episode he might go back to Nevarro to like really get his ship fixed. Because apparently the Mon Cala just jerry-rig things with nets and ropes and...
Not even duct tape. Literally rope.
And squids. There are squids got in. I don't know. Yeah, somebody needs to do something. I'm sick of seeing the ship in shambles.
Yeah.
It was Neil so S. bad. Oh, it reminded me of how my dad kept a 1991 Mercury Marquis going until... the hurricanes hit Louisiana and like something shook up too bad from the wind and it couldn't keep going anymore. And I just thought, that's the Razor Crest, man.
Yep. It really is.
Neil S., thanks for your question. As always, an amazing discussion on Star Wars Explained, and just recently discovered Force Toast podcast and love it. Episode 3 was amazing. So not a question, just a very nice statement.
Yay. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Evan Fetter, thanks for your super chat. Just making a joke on my joke that Din doesn't have a death wish. It's pronounced death watch.
Got it. That's fair. He just got us there.
And I caught up enough that I can do this. LaWolfie, just wanted to show my appreciation to you guys for doing this every week. Makes the experience of watching The Mandalorian even more exciting. Us too. We are really grateful that we get a chance to have our friends on the show.
I have a theory that that person's actually Dave Filoni with that name.
Le Wolfie.
Yeah.
Yes, thank
Welcome,
you,
Dave.
Thanks, yeah. Dave.
Thanks for watching, Dave. Glad you like it.
Exactly.
And our last one before we wrap up, D-Train, thanks for your super chat. Hope Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni have health insurance for having back problems from carrying the Star Wars franchise. Man, it's been good. It's been nice these past 3 weeks of just like everyone's enthusiastically loving this. It's been fun.
Yeah, yes. Having really solid Star Wars content that most people can generally agree upon and is good is been really, really nice. It's been a really fun experience being in the fandom in this time.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for watching. Thank you so much for your questions and for the very generous super chats. Big old one last shout out to Deshaun Davison. But before we wrap up, Alice and Laura, where can everyone find you?
Go ahead, Alice.
No, this is your gig. You know,
I was gonna let you say where people can find you, but Alice is at Slaya All Day on Twitter. That's Leia with an S, so it's Slaya All Day. I am at @shutup_Laura, and we host a podcast called Force Toast, a Star Wars Happy Hour. You can find our show on Twitter and Instagram at Force Toast Pod, and then you can also find me over on John Rocha's YouTube channel. I host a show with him called The Jedi Way, where we talk about Star Wars, and it is a grand old time as well.
And I'll put a link to that in the description. I already put a link to your Twitters, your Force Toast Pod podcast is in the description already. That's going to be it from us. I think Molly is going to, are you going to stream? You mentioned that and now I just threw it to you. Like,
Pressure's on.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Are you or aren't you?
Follow me on Twitter to find out.
You mean Twitch?
Or there too. I always tweet out when I'm streaming. So hit that notification bell on my name.
Subscribe here for more Mandalorian coverage if you haven't already. I'm going to be over on the X2 channel in about half an hour to stream with them. But again, thank you all so much for watching. Thank you to our guests, Alice and Laura. And may the Force be with you.
Thank you. May the Force be with you.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.